Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Man, it's so good to be here with you guys. Well, we wanted to show you a little bit of a recap, a moment from last week. We had the amazing Tyra Martin with us, and she is just so special to our church. She's part of WGN, and she came out, and we had a really good time with her and Pastor and Liv, and they had some cool things to say. But Tyra said something really special that really struck me personally, and I wanted to make sure every single person heard it tonight. So we're going to show that, and then we're going to get into the rest of everything that we have for you tonight. So if we can roll that, enjoy this, and then let's get it.
Like, what is God speaking to you? What is on your heart? What is the one next step forward that you want to take in your life?
It's personal? Yeah. Is this like a counseling session we're having?
No.
Well, Pastor, you know what I hope comes from this period is healing. Mm-hmm. And I think you cannot heal unless you address the illness.
Amen.
And a lot of us just don't want to talk about it because it's messy, or people feel guilty, or don't know the right language to use, or are offended. Mm. And you talk all the time, you know, offenses. Yeah, You can't get anywhere when you're offended, and it's a real emotion that people feel, but it keeps you from moving forward. It keeps you from empathy. It keeps you from being able to really hear.
Right on.
Amazing. I love that she said we can't experience healing without addressing the issues. And she said we got to learn how to the right language with each other. And I think that's love, you know. And that's something we're always talking about. You're always preaching the house down with out of personal experience, God's love.
Yeah.
But I think we just got to get that as church members, as Christians, as everyday people, no matter if we're Christians or not, you know, just like our language being love to people. And there is hurt in our world, and there is hurt in this generation and this pandemic. And we can be the solution. We can be the healing by displaying Jesus's love, Jesus's character. And so Tyra hit the nail on the head
for sure.
Yeah, whatever the phrase is, but she crushed it.
Yes. Wow, it was incredible. And what you're saying is so true. Really, I want to spend time talking about what she shared, because in just one moment of time, she really captured what we're believing for, and you captured the language that we have to share this in. Is, you know, one language that can be interpreted in any translation or any language, one word or one feeling, one emotion that can be interpreted in any language is love. And everybody understands that language. They don't always speak that language, but that is, everybody understands that language.
Yeah.
And we want to get more people live in that language, speak in that language,
100%.
Becoming fluent. Some people are just, they just had a little bit of it in third grade or fourth grade, kind of like a language when we studied, when I was in high school, 10th grade, we had Spanish for one semester. That was it. It's the only Spanish I knew. Que pasa, man. That's all I got. But to be proficient in something, you gotta be committed to it.
That's
you
good.
Gotta be intentional about love.
Right.
You don't accidentally just fall into behaving in love. Like one of the things Tyra said was be love.
Yeah.
You gotta be love in your relationships with people and in your communication with people. But I wanna get back to something that is really more important than that. And I just wanna say that this church has, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the best hair in the world. This is the hair church.
Out of control
like,
tonight.
Did you see, look, his hair, number one, not in this order, but Vanessa's hair and Vlad's hair and
Vlad's hair
Manny's hair.
Yeah.
Manny's growing his hair.
Jerry's got gray hair as well.
But can you get the camera on Vlad? I mean, look at Vlad. Like Vlad and Vanessa are in a competition for who can grow their hair longer and be softer, you know, because nobody wants to have harsh hair, man or woman. But I'm just in awe of that. I always wanted long hair when I was a kid. I could never get it that long like you guys got. Had to cut it to go to court once when I got arrested. They said if you want, I had to cut my hair. They said if you want to get a good answer in court from the judge, the first thing you're going to have to do is cut your hair.
Wow.
And so that was the end of those days.
Dang.
Yeah,
what
I know.
What could have been?
But I want to, you know, in the spirit of healing today, I want us to be healed. So I'm going to believe God with you for healing. I'm going to believe God for healing in our city.
Yeah.
We need healing in our city. We need healing in Chicago. Yeah. We need healing in our streets. We need healing in our neighborhoods. We need healing in our families. It's going to take us all to be a part of this, to see the healing, to see revival, to see kids grow up the way they should. We have kids that that we talk to and minister to in our school and in our church. And right now they're back in session in school. And in case you're looking for a place to take your kids to or put your kid in a Christian school, check out Valeo Academy, valeoacademy.com, V-A-L-E-O. Maybe they'll be able to put it on the screen so you can look it up. But it's not too late to sign up. It's not too late to join school if you want your kids to come. But some of the kids, it is harder when you're in a single parent home. It is harder when either your father's not around or your mother's not around. If one of your parents, God forbid both of your parents, but just one of your parents not being in the equation, is it really sets you back in a big disadvantage. And I really believe that God wants to heal people from the fracture that they have from not having parents or not being parented right, not being parented with love as the language.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna believe for healing for our cities. We're gonna believe for healing for our nation. We're gonna believe for healing in your body. We're gonna believe for healing in your emotions.
Yeah.
God is the God that heals. And the scripture I wanna build our time together around today is Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And it says, how you know Jesus of Nazareth, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And I want you to see, I want everybody to see this passage of scripture when he says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing two things. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we need to see that the devil's operation and the devil's work in people's lives is to oppress them.
Yeah.
The devil's work in our lives is to oppress us, and I actually wrote down what this word means because I'm writing the book that I'm writing. One of the chapters has to do with being set free from all forms of oppression. And here Jesus says that he came anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to do good and to heal all. So the first thing we have to understand about God is he never does bad, since he comes to do good. And then what does it say in that verse? If you can keep it up for a moment. And heals all. He came to heal all that were oppressed. Now let me read to you real quick the word oppression for a moment, because I want you to, you may think, if I have it, you guys may think, how important is this word oppression? Well, it's important because it comes from a Greek word, katadynastai, which is to press down and to take from someone the power that they have.
Wow.
To press down against them and to take their power. So we have the word press in there, oppression.
Yeah.
But what it does is it overpowers you. So Satan's objective is to oppress you or to press against you with such force that it takes your power away so that you are now powerless over your life. Satan wants to remove, it really is translated as to remove from someone the power to control their own life and to control their own future. And so this is Satan's agenda in people's lives, is to remove from them the power to control their lives.
Wow.
And so this causes a world to be filled with people that need to be controlled because they can't control themselves.
Yeah.
And we live in a generation, a lawless generation, that in many ways, people, they don't respect the authority in life. And I understand that there have been abuses in authority. Like I was, I experienced abuse in church authority. I probably was guilty of creating abuse in a church environment and mistreating people, not treating people the right way. But people are oppressed in financial ways. They're oppressed and abused in emotional ways. They're abused in physical ways. They're abused in sexual ways. And the devil is an abuser. All abuse comes from the devil.
Yeah.
And that's what we're after today, is to heal you. And it starts by knowing that Jesus came to heal. The devil puts sickness, the devil puts oppression, the devil puts disease, the devil puts fear and hate and anger in people's lives, and God comes to heal all of that.
Yeah.
And every miracle that Jesus did, it usually starts out with, and Jesus moved with compassion, healed their sick, moved with compassion, fed the multitudes, moved with compassion, he cast out the devil, moved with compassion, he touched the coffin and raised the dead. Moved with compassion, he raised Lazarus from the dead. So everything he did was love, and everything the devil did was to remove from people the power of that love and to remove from people the power to control their own futures. And that's what the devil is really after in your life, to stop you from being able to control your own life so that you need somebody else to control it. So that's my opening thought, that we're gonna get healed tonight.
Yeah.
We're gonna experience healing today.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's what I'm at. That's what I'm after.
No, and one thing you said on Sunday, I mean, you were talking about this throughout the whole pandemic, but you reminded us on Sunday about the revival of simplicity.
Yes.
And I just think we can't get enough of that. Like, because, you know, the mind, like how we think and how we are, like we want to understand everything.
Yeah.
And we want to, like, break everything down into something we can understand, but sometimes it's like simple that we can't understand how simple it is, if that makes sense. But like, God is with us. Like Jesus, like you just said, he has compassion for us.
Yes.
So anything he does, it's not because it's like this miracle, like you were chosen randomly and God decided to bless you and he's like making his way to everyone else. It's like he actually is with us and has compassion.
Yeah, that's great.
And we have to remember that. And so I don't know, I thought that was worth mentioning again, like the revival of simplicity in our lives, because we need healing in our lives, like in our world, yes, but personally as well. There's emotional hurt, there's, you know, self-image, insecurities, you know.
Absolutely.
And we got to remember, like, the simple truth that God is with us and wants us. He actually wants us to have a great life. He wants
us
to enjoy life. And it really can be that simple.
And it really is simple. No, that's really good, because, you know, that's why I love this scripture, that as the foundation for what we're talking about, is that Jesus went about doing good.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing more obvious about God than his goodness. There's
nothing,
you know, there's nothing more. Yet, religion robs people of their understanding of God's goodness, because they think the Bible says, God gives rain to the evil and to the good. He gives the sunlight to the evil and to the good. That doesn't mean that he brings bad things. Some people perceive rain in the Bible as something bad, and yet to farmers, rain is really good.
Yeah.
And they need rain. They need sunlight and rain to grow their crops. And so what that is showing when it says that God pours out rain and sunshine on the good and the evil, it shows how good God really is, that he, even if somebody's a bad person, God still gives them light, God still gives them rain, God still empowers them to grow their crops. He doesn't judge us because of our evil or our sinfulness or what's bad about us. He wants to show us his goodness, because I'm convinced, just like the Bible says, it's God's goodness and it's his love that leads people to change, that leads people, leads a nation, leads the world to repentance.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. And we want to see people believing God, trusting God, turning to God with their lives. And it's his goodness that draws us to him. Like, I don't want to be around a bad God. And that's why the Bible is so simple. God is good, the devil's bad. It's really that simple. God heals, the devil oppresses. Jesus came to heal you, the devil wants to oppress you. So it really is simple. The simplicity of the gospel is the devil's bad. He sowed bad seeds in our hearts. I was talking to a young person at the school today, and your mother was talking about this as well, and it was really powerful that every one of us, our lives are a garden, right? Our lives are like a pot of soil, and it's our responsibility as parents for our kids until they grow up like you have, and then it's your responsibility to take care of your heart, take care of your garden. Everybody's heart is a garden. And so with this kid, we said, look, maybe you have some bad things that are growing up in your life, but that's only because some people planted some bad seeds in your soul. And what we want to do is start planting the good seeds. The bad seeds, we're not blaming you for those. We're not mad at you for those. What's happening in your life is simply the byproduct of the seeds that have been sown in your life.
That's good.
So if we would just get to the simplicity of sowing seeds of love, seeds of kindness, seeds of scripture, seeds of encouragement, seeds of God's promises to one another in our lives and to encourage one another with, we can really make a dent in the devil's agenda for people's lives.
Right. So, and that's one of my favorite truths in the Bible is that it's God's kindness that leads us to change, leads us to repentance, because he's planting those seeds for us, you know, of his kindness, of his goodness. He's not forcing us, but he's just like a little drop of hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm for you. Hey, I love you. I care about you. He's not demanding like, look at me and change your ways, you know, but through those small deposits of love and kindness, that's not forceful at all.
Yeah.
That's what like grows in us to then want to change and want to live for him, want to know him more.
Yeah.
And I just, love that so much. And
me
I think
too.
We gotta remember that, and I think we got to sing that song again, Heart of God, you know?
Yeah, like
your,
I love that song.
Your mercy and your kindness lead us to repentance, and so, just so good. Anyways.
I may start singing it right now, like if you guys aren't careful, we might get into that. But I want to like show another scripture that will really help everybody watching.
Let's do it.
It's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, and I'm going to read this to you from the New King James Version of the Bible. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. Now watch what this scripture says. And this is where I really want to encourage you. And it says, in that day, at that time, many will fall away and they'll betray one another and they'll hate one another. Actually, it says many will be offended and they'll betray one another and will hate one another. I want you to see that. Many will be offended, he says, and will betray one another and will hate one another. We're living in a generation, and Tyra made mention of this, and I want to really double click on some of the things that she said.
Yeah.
She said healing.
Yeah.
I believe it was prophetic. The words she was sharing were prophetic from the Holy Spirit and right on time for our lives, our church, our generation. And she said, and I wrote these things down, I said, what are you believing for? What's God speaking to you? What's next that you're hoping for? And she said, healing. And then she said, in order for healing to come, we have to address the issue. We have to be willing to address the illness. And I'll come back to that. But it says right here, and then she said, we have to address the illness, and then we have to guard our hearts from being offended, because when you're offended, it keeps you from three things, she said.
Yeah.
It keeps you from, number one, moving forward. It keeps you, number two, from having empathy.
Yeah.
And really feeling what other people are feeling and trying to understand where people are coming from, because you don't necessarily, you haven't been in their situation, so you can't just, we can't placate people and say to them, oh, I understand, I've been through that too, because you don't understand and you haven't been through that too if you weren't them, if you weren't that person. I don't just mean black or white or Hispanic or anything like that. I mean that person is an individual.
Yeah.
That person is not a group. That person is an individual. And we need to learn how to have empathy towards what every individual that God sends across our path. I believe that God sends people across our path and gives us an opportunity to learn how to overcome being offended, because God sends people in our lives that are good at offending us. And not because he wants us offended, but because if that's a, if that remains a weakness in our lives, then we'll always be stumbling and we'll always be offended and we'll always be trapped. So the word offense comes from the description is a trap, that you set the bait on a trap, and then like a mouse, you put the bait on the trap, and then the mouse eats the bait, and then the trap slams on the mouse, right? I mean, sorry for mouse lovers out there. Mickey, we apologize in advance. But the point is that being offended is like that. It's being trapped and you can't get out. And how an insect or a rodent dies in that situation is not because they're trapped. It's because when they get trapped, they exert so much energy to get out of the trap that they end up having a heart attack. Wow. I mean, I'm sorry for animal lovers. I don't mean this to be graphic in a way that would hurt you or offend you, but maybe I'm sending into your life so you can overcome being offended right now. But so the way that that works is it traps the animal, and then I know, and it's not pleasant to think about this, but we need to feel the unpleasantness of this, because we need to understand what being offended really is.
Yeah.
And what is really happening in our lives when we're offended, and when we hold anger and unforgiveness or bitterness towards somebody. So it traps the animal, and then the animal is exerting so much energy that its rapid heartbeat is too much for it to handle, and it literally dies of a heart attack. And I believe that Satan is trying to give you, give us, give our nation, give the nations of the world a collective heart attack by getting us offended. And then we don't deal with the real issue, which means we're trying to get out of the trap, but we're not dealing with the real issue.
Right.
You're gonna need some help to get out of the trap.
Right.
If you're trapped, you need some help. And to admit that we need help, like I need help from the black community to understand more of what the black community has suffered. I don't claim to know all of that, but I need help from people that can help me understand Greek better so I can read the Bible better. That's a really bad example, but, and so extreme, right? One's a real issue and one's really not. But the point is that you can't get out of traps by yourself sometimes.
Right.
And that's why we need the community, we need the church, we need the family of God to help us when we're offended. So anyway, she said, when you're offended, you can't move forward, you can't have empathy, because you're more concerned about your offense than you are about understanding the other person.
Yeah.
And you can't really hear what they're saying. So it's like it gets wax in your ears in relationships when you're offended. And I thought that was so profound what she shared, that we needed to really get a hold of what it means to be offended, to be trapped, and then how to overcome and how to get out of this trap. And no one is meant to get out by themselves. We're meant to need a savior, and then we're meant to need the church family. I want to make sure that everybody hears what I'm saying here. See, church family is not something that God suggested might help you. He said, this is the only answer for what the world needs, Jesus Christ and his people. Jesus Christ and his people. And I know that some that are watching right now, you've been offended by the church that you used to go to, or maybe a church abused you, maybe a church took advantage of you. Maybe some people mishandled your situation. I'm sure I've been guilty. I know I've been guilty of that in people's lives. I've tried to apologize to everybody I can, and one blanket apology isn't enough, because, you know, especially the ones that are offended at me, they're probably not watching right now, right? They're so offended, they stop watching me. They're not interested in what I have to say. So, but I've been guilty of that. And listen, but that doesn't mean, just like I used to say all the time to people, you know, when they said, well, I've been burned by church, so that's why I don't go to church. And I would say, well, did your mother ever burn the biscuits when you were a kid? Did your mother ever burn the bacon when you were growing up? And the answer is always yes. And then my response is, well, that didn't stop you from eating, did it?
Right.
right? So just because you've been burned in a church before or you were offended by something that somebody said, it doesn't mean to throw the church away.
Yeah.
It means that we have to overcome what offended us. And yes, if you're being abused, in a whether it's in a marital relationship, a living situation, or a church relationship, you got to get out of an abusive situation. Yeah. But being offended is not abusive. Being offended is just human, and we have to learn how to overcome
it really
by forgiving people and by letting go of what we're holding on to in our heart towards them. And we need the church family.
Yeah.
The Bible says when we're planted in God's house, that's when we flourish. And it says God puts everyone in families. Mm. He puts every human being on the face of this earth was born to a family. Now that family might have been dysfunctional, that family might have broken up, that family might have failed, that family might have been unhealthy, but God's intention is to, you can't even come into this world without a man and a woman being a family that gave birth to you. And they might have been a family just for one night, they might have been a family for 1 year, they might have been a family for 30 years, but God didn't bring anybody into this world without a family.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want anybody, spiritually speaking, without a spiritual family either.
Yeah.
And it's really important to understand we belong together in family. Jesus' name, the first name given to him when he was born, was Emmanuel. And you know what, we all know what Emmanuel means. It means God with us.
Yeah.
And I think the emphasis isn't stressed enough on the us part. Mm. He's God with us. Mm. He's God with us, gang. He's God with us, with you and me together. He's God with us.
Yeah.
There's power in us. Mm. There's power in us. I want you to hear that. There's power in us. There's power in church family. And without that, when we get offended and get trapped, we run from our family when we should be running to our family. We get offended and we're trying to do it all by ourselves, and we are not willing to be honest and name the situation we're offended. Like Tyra said this, I'm sorry, I want you to interject here anytime, but Tyra mentioned this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyra, by the way, because what a great moment that we had together. Yeah. What a moment from God. And I really believe that in her gentleness and in her kindness, a prophetic utterance came out of her mouth on this issue right here, on healing, and on how being offended stops your progress and stops you from moving forward and stops you from empathy and listening. So it's so vital. It's so vital that we realize that when we stumble and when we're trapped by something, that we lean into our family, not lean away from our family. Yeah. And if we can get that across to you, that our church family has been more connected in the last few months during the pandemic, more phone calls, more prayers, more, you know, talking directly to each member than we ever have before. And so much good has come out of this, but it's us, Emmanuel, God with us, right?
100%. I think it's worth mentioning just something like a thought that I've been brewing is before COVID and before the pandemic, before quarantine, church was so normal and like that was the every week thing, you know, for us it's like every day, but every week thing of you know, showing up to service and being at church, going to church, that when that was taken away, it kind of exposed, at least, and I'm just speaking for myself, and maybe there's someone else that can relate to this, but it kind of exposes where our relationship with Jesus isn't as strong. Like, we thought just going to church was enough. Being in the building would be the answer or be the bridge, you know, for our relationship with Jesus. But now that that's been physically taken away,
right,
we have to realize, whoa, like, I need to be connected to the church, like actually connected, not just like claim that I'm a part of a church or that I go to church and I'm doing it to fulfill a task or to fulfill a religion or whatever, but that I'm actually connecting with people as I'm connecting with Jesus.
So
and as
good.
I'm like, I learn more about Jesus when I learn more about my brother and sister next to me and the people that I'm doing life with and the people that are on the same journey. Like, Jesus is all in that.
So, you know, great.
And we get to, and that's the beauty of diversity.
Yes.
We've been talking about this. We see more of God's image, more of God's creation, more of God's plan and purpose through other people.
Yes,
so we actually know more about God's character when we get to be connected to other people. And so that's
so true.
I'm thankful for this season because it exposed in me, and I hope it can expose in some of us that are watching that we need to be connected more now than ever. And so the fact that you're saying this just speaks volumes to the people that are like me, of where it was so easy to just kind of tuck into that, that category. Like, no, I'm covered. I go to church every Sunday.
Right.
You know, but actually, no, like a relationship with Jesus is more than just a building.
So good.
It's the people.
So good, champ. It's so good. You know, can I tell you guys that for me, you touched on, you know, really that it in many ways exposed or really gave us an opportunity to discover where our relationship might have been off or where it needed to be more focused on the simplicity, like you mentioned earlier, the simplicity of Jesus. I've learned more about Jesus. I gotta say, during the pandemic, I've learned more about Jesus in the last 5 months than I probably did the 5 years previous to that. Yeah. I've learned more about Jesus. And it has come because I had there was no evidence of the church existing other than us staying connected online. There was no evidence of us as a church. I had to lean in to really hear from God so that I had something genuinely authentic from heaven to share with you, that I wasn't gonna just preach like I used to. I wasn't just going to, dust off some old messages and some old sermons and then, you know, try to, you know, heat it up in a microwave oven, a word from God. Like I got some genuinely real words from heaven for my life, and that I was able to then be able to share with you guys and to be able to share with everybody in our church family.
Yeah.
So, I'll be the first to admit that I was in a hurry, and you guys have heard me say this many times, I was in a hurry for us to get back to church in April, and then God said, whoa, 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 hold your horses, son, because it's more important that you learn about love and that you learn what the church is supposed to really be and what the church is supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Because when Tyra said something last Wednesday, she said, be love. I said, what do you recommend we do in that situation? Be love. It's not have love. We have that.
Yeah.
And we're loved by God. We know that we're loved by God. But be love. To be the actual essence of love, well, that's what God is. God is love. God doesn't just have love. He is love. So, and we're made in His image. So we can be love also, just like she said. But we got to be willing to be vulnerable. We got to be willing to face where we kind of rested in, like you said, we got used to this thing, and I was used to the idea that the church is growing if more people are coming to the building.
Yeah.
And now I realize, and I know, it's like, duh, how come I didn't realize this before? But God's patient. Thank God He's patient with me, He's patient with you.
Yeah.
And He was patient with us to give us time to let this thing unfold. And to really, can I also say that God in His love, God being love, has given us an opportunity to heal the division that we've had in America and other parts of the world. I know people talk to me from South Africa and they talk to me from all other places and they say, yeah, we have it here too. But God has given us an opportunity. And why did COVID continue? You can say politics played into it. You know, you can have your conspiracy theory from a Democrat standpoint or a Republican standpoint, but I'm talking to you from a Christian standpoint. I'm talking to you from a Bible standpoint, from a love standpoint. You understand the love of God is greater than political parties, and we've got to be more concerned about the love of God. If today Democrats and Republicans didn't exist anymore, if there was no such thing as being a Democrat, and if there was no such thing as being a Republican, do you know that we could solve all the problems just with love.
Yeah.
We could solve every problem in this world with love. We would be unselfish. Love is not selfish. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love is generous. Love is giving. God so loved that he gave. Like, love is the answer. We don't have to work through politics. We're above politics. And I want you guys in this church family, we need to be above politics, not caught up in the mire of that stuff. Definitely vote. God gives you a gift to be able to vote and to be able to express your opinion and not hurt anybody in the process. But love never fails.
Yeah.
Voting fails. Voting's going to fail for 50% of the people that don't get the person they want.
Yeah.
Right? Voting's going to fail, but love never fails.
Yeah.
Voting's going to fail for half the people. I'm not saying don't vote. Go vote still.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is voting's going to fail for half the people. But love will never fail.
Right.
And love never is obsolete. It never comes to an end. And I want you moving forward. I want you to move forward in your life.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you can't move forward a mile. Sometimes you can't move forward a whole year, but you can move forward a little.
Yeah.
You can, like the Bible says, when Jesus was in the place of temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that he moved forward a little.
Mm.
It's you got to read it in the King James Bible in Mark chapter 14, verse 35, I think. He said, and Jesus moved forward a little. Like, he didn't move forward a lot. He moved forward a little. Sometimes a little progress will end up becoming a lot of progress.
Yeah.
If we just move forward, like he said, and he went forward a little. There it is there in that verse. And he went forward a little, go forward a little, forgive somebody tonight. Go forward a little, pray for a moment and thank God for his patience towards you and his mercy towards you. Take a moment and call somebody to encourage them. Take a moment and call somebody to apologize. Take a moment and move forward a little.
So good.
Just move forward a little and God will meet you there.
Yeah.
God will meet you there. And this pandemic, this is all turning out for good.
Yeah.
We have an opportunity to reprioritize our lives. We have an opportunity to heal some old wounds.
Yeah.
We have an opportunity to solve some real problems in the medical industry. We have an opportunity to solve the racial divisions and the inequalities that exist. And we have an opportunity to be sensitive to people who are suffering in a way that you might not be suffering. And if you are suffering in some way, we want to be there for you.
Yeah.
Because he is God with us. He's God with us, champ.
Yeah.
He's God with us.
I love moving forward a little. I mean, obviously everything you're saying is so good, but that was the heart of Moments. That's the purpose of Moments for us. Theming these services, these events, these conversations, these moments, it's because it just takes one moment to create momentum.
Yes.
And you've said this before, that miracles happen in moments.
They sure do.
And so it just takes that one moment of humility, that one moment of forgiveness, that one moment of a conversation, even encouragement, a moment of generosity.
Yeah.
And boom, like that's, we're already ahead of where we were if we just stayed still, you know?
That's right. One, you know, moving forward a little, one step, one word, one decision, one touch, you know, I told you guys, I start singing.
We got to have
you
a worship
do not want
night
that.
One of these nights.
We got to go all out, but I want to share this scripture with you guys because in Matthew 24, verse 10, back to that verse, it says that many people in this day will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Boy, we're seeing that played out in our cities. We're seeing that played out in our communities. And that's not from God. That's from the devil. Hate and anger and all this betrayal and being offended, that's from the devil. So what do we do about it? What's the solution? He goes to verse 11 and he talks about many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And I don't want us to get all bogged down on that, but there are many false things that are being put out there in this world today. There's many conspiracies and there's many ideas and there's many beliefs, and I'm never going to understand all that's going on in politics. I'm never going to understand all that's going on in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm never going to understand all that is going on in racial reconciliation. We all do the best we can, but here's what I do know, is that there are a lot of voices that we shouldn't be listening to. Mm. And this scripture is telling us there are many false prophets that will deceive many. So many people are going to be deceived because their heart is offended. That's what leads to deception. That's what makes you vulnerable to deception. And then verse 12 tells us something. And because lawlessness is increased, look at what he says. Most people's love will grow cold. I don't want your love growing cold.
Yeah.
But he said, we're seeing lawlessness increase in our world. And as at least in America, as lawlessness increases, most people's love grows cold. And then people see the worst in one another. Mm. When lawlessness increases, people end up seeing the worst in each other rather than the best in each other. Mm. And most people's love will grow cold. And so it all gets back to love and healing, which we're gonna pray for you in a few moments. But it all gets back to love. And the Bible says something about lawlessness. It says lawlessness increases so people's hearts grow cold. And what God wants to do is he wants to do the opposite of that. He wants your heart and your love to grow hot rather than cold. So if lawlessness causes people's love to grow cold, the opposite will cause people's love to grow hot. And what is the opposite of lawlessness? People would think the opposite of lawlessness is law. But the Bible says the opposite of lawlessness is grace. Mm. In other words, it says where sin increases, grace increases even more. Where lawlessness is increased, it says in Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5, where lawlessness increases, that says where sin increases, grace increases even more. There's always more grace than there is sin. Oof. There's always more grace than there is lawlessness. So what is our answer and what is our response to our hearts growing cold and our love growing cold and the lawlessness in our world is to give people grace. Mm. Give people grace. Give people space. Give people room to heal. Yeah. Yeah. Give people opportunity to heal. Give people their space. Don't invade somebody's property. Don't get in somebody's face. Don't remain the way that you were before the pandemic, because this flushed up so many things that we get to all be able to deal with in our lives so we can become more mature. And the whole goal is instead of our love growing cold, today is the beginning of your love growing hot. And what's gonna make your love grow hot is more grace, not more law. And not more lawlessness, but more grace is the remedy to where there's lawlessness. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And so where the sin of our forefathers, give grace to our forefathers. The sin of people in the streets that have hurt others, let's give grace to them, but let's stop the... Like, the thing is we understood where the forefathers were really good, and we understood where the forefathers were really bad, and we're not repeating the bad, but we want to hold on to the good.
Yeah.
And there's a way you can hold on to the good without repeating the bad. And there's a way to redeem all the people that are doing crazy stuff in the streets by stopping doing crazy stuff in the streets. Like, we hear, we feel, we hear, we know there's issues. And through prayer and through love and through generosity and through giving people space and giving people grace and giving people understanding, we're gonna heal that.
Yeah.
We're gonna heal that.
Yeah.
So let's have a word of prayer.
Let's do it.
Let's pray for our heart and our love. Put that verse back up in where he says your love will grow cold. And because I'm gonna believe God for the opposite of this to happen is for each of our love, for our love for one another to grow hot. For our love for God will grow hot when we realize how much he loves us. But I want our love for God, our love for one another, even our love for ourselves to grow hot. And I want our love for the hurting and the suffering to grow hot. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I answered the question today that nobody asked, but I was answering it anyway for myself. And that is, if you could only have one verse in the Bible that you could have for the rest of your life and nothing else, if your life had to consist of just one verse, mine would be John 3:16. God so loved the world, talks about, starts with God, talks about what he is, he loves. How does he love? So much that he gave, generosity, he gave his only begotten son, family, that whoever believes in him, simply believing, whoever believes in him, just believing, he should not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. Do you see that everything we need is in this verse?
Yeah.
God is in this verse. Love is in this verse. Family is in this verse. Believing is in this verse. Not perishing is in this verse.
Yeah.
Eternal life is in this verse. The character of God and the nature of God is in this verse. What he's like is in this verse. What he feels about you is in this verse.
Yeah.
What he's done for you is in this verse. Where you're going when you die is in this verse. How you're gonna live for the rest of your life is in this verse. It's all in this verse. Let's let our love grow hot today.
Yeah.
And let's get healing love flowing. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna receive the love of God. We're gonna love one another. We're gonna love ourselves out of being offended. We're gonna love God's word more than we love our own opinion. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, it says, those who love the word, those who love God's word will have great peace and nothing will offend them. In the King James Bible, it says nothing will offend them. Great peace have those that love the word of God, the word of God, and nothing will offend them. The law in the Old Testament, that was referring to the scriptures. To love the word of God, nothing will offend you. So we're gonna love God because he first loved us. We're gonna love one another. We're gonna love ourselves. We're gonna love God's word.
Awesome.
And we're gonna love our community, and healing is gonna come from love.
Come on.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, so let's pray together. First, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, pray this with me. Just pray this with me. Today is your day to be saved. Just pray, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly
That's
Father.
It, right where you are, just pray, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I invite Jesus Christ into my life. As my Savior and Lord.
As my Savior and Lord.
I believe. Jesus died for my sins.
Jesus died for my sins.
And rose from the dead.
And rose from the dead.
From this moment forward.
From this moment forward.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God. Amen.
You know what you just prayed? Has changed your eternal destination. It said, whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, your new life begins. And what does it mean when you have a new life? It means the old life is gone. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. All things have become new. Can we start treating one another also like each of us is brand new and our past is gone?
Yeah.
Can we
That's good.
Treat one another like we're new creatures in Christ.
So good.
Come on, let's let the love flow right now. Jesus, right now we pray for every person watching.
Yeah.
Every person connected, every person who's a part of this family, and any person who's peeking in, we welcome them. And Lord, we pray for a baptism of love.
Yeah.
To flood our lives. Lord, reveal to each person how great, how deep, how overwhelming your love is. Reveal to each person right now how wide and how great and how deep your feeling for them is. Lord, reveal to everyone the love of God. Reveal to everyone watching and awaken them to the love of God that's inside of their heart when they got born again. And now in the name of Jesus, Lord, melt hard hearts.
Yeah.
Heal the heart. Lord, we release healing. We release love that heals. We activate the love of God that heals people spiritually, that heals people emotionally, that heals people physically. Right now, we activate the love of God that carries healing in its wings.
Yeah.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, we release healing in our culture. We release healing where there's been division. We release healing where there's been pain. We release healing where there's been offense. We release healing where there's been unforgiveness. We release healing where there's been suffering.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, Lord, let the love of God heal in the deepest places that no man can reach, in the places of our soul that only the Holy Spirit and only the love of God can reach and heal and let our love grow hot. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we love you guys, and thank you so much for letting us share. Yeah. Got any closing word?
No.
That's it?
That was awesome.
Love of God.
Yeah.
Let the love of God melt your heart today.
Yeah.
You want to know more about love? Tune in tomorrow. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it on Daily Bread tomorrow. Remind me, talk about love. Love of God. This love's going to heal you. See you Sunday, and see you on Daily Bread. Love you guys.